This evening's scripture reading will be taken from Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 19. Again, that's Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 19. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Now that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am in to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble, and you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus.
Good evening. It is good to see each and every one of you tonight. I am very thankful for the opportunity that has been presented to me to come and to speak this evening. I'm very thankful for all of you, and I'm thankful for this congregation and for the school such as we have here. It's been a great opportunity that I have been so richly blessed to get to know so many of you and also to spend time on a daily basis studying and learning more about the Word of God. For that, I am thankful. And I'm thankful that there is such a place that I could come as I have grown in years to come and to study the Word of God and to be able to take that great gospel call to other individuals. I also want to say thank you to everyone that is in here for the support that you show to others when they are sick. And my mother, who had quite a struggle last spring as she was diagnosed with cancer, had received many cards from the members here at this church, and I cannot even begin to tell you how much that was uplifting to her and what great strength that she drew from knowing that there were Christians that were round about praying for her, thinking about her, and wishing her the best during her time of struggle. Count your blessings. Have you ever thought about your blessings? What blessings do you have in life? Do you take time to consider those things that have been given to you through the grace of God, through the life that we have as we live round about right now? And what we find is we consider those things that our blessings are many. We've been blessed greatly in this life. And for the Christian, our blessings are not of this world and they are not materialistic. For those are blessings that are soon going to pass. But yet the great blessing that we have in Christ Jesus is that we have the hope of eternal life that can only come through Christ Jesus dying upon that cross, and our belief in following the commands of him living a life that is unto Christ. We will consider some things tonight in regards to counting your blessings. And we will take a look at, as Christians, what I believe are four very important things that we need in our life, that we have been blessed with, that we have been given to enjoy, to draw strength from, and to help guide and direct our paths to God and to Christ Jesus. Great riches and great gifts for you and I that we find in God. You know, we're blessed in many different ways as we go through this life. We find that we are blessed with wealth. Some of us have been blessed with great family members, great parents, great grandparents. We've been blessed with financial security. We've been blessed to come and be able to sit in a warm building. We've been blessed with the clothes that we have, the food that we're able to eat, and the shelter that we have within our lives to keep ourselves comfortable. But yet, have we thought about the blessings that we have in Christ and the blessings that are ours to enjoy? And friends, I share with you that the blessings we will discuss are the blessings that help us get to eternal life. I've been blessed by other people in my life. I've been blessed by you good people. I've been blessed by my brothers who are at the school. I've been blessed to be around individuals that are God-fearing and Christ-living Christians. Because they've been able to help me. They've been able to exhort and to edify things that I needed to have done in my life, things that I've needed to accomplish. And I have lived the Christian life, and at times I have struggled. And there have been people of God that have been there to help me and to strengthen me along the way, and I'm thankful for that. But I consider the idea of how we're blessed with people. Not every person is a blessing. I've gone through life where there have been some individuals that have not been intended to bless me, but rather to tear me away from the life that I should live in Christ. There have been those that have tried to influence me negatively. Those that have tried to tear me away from going to church. Tried to tear me away from my study time. Tried to tear me away from behaving as I need to behave as a Christian. So we talk about blessings in people. We're not always blessed by people because there are those that want to hurt us. But those that are in Christ become a blessing to each other. I often think, and I've said so many times, how thankful I am to be able to come here Monday through Friday at 8:30 every morning to sit and assemble in chapel with brothers and sisters of like precious faith. What great strength I draw from the time that I'm able to get together with Christians. Because I've lived a life in which I've had meetings at 8:30 in the morning out in the secular world where it was not encouraging, where it was not worship unto God, where it was not edifying for those that were in those meetings. But yet I get that time to come and to pray. And I get that time to come and to sing. And that time to come and worship God. How fortunate and how blessed I am to be able to do that. And how fortunate and blessed we are to be able to come and assemble here tonight. In Hebrews chapter 10, in verses 24 and 25, the Hebrews writer here said, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching." Friends, we can be a blessing to each other because we're able to stir up love and good works amongst ourselves. We're able to hold fast to the hope that we have, and we're able to exhort one another so that we can be encouraged to come and to serve Christ and to serve God. And we can be encouraged that when we walk through these doors this evening, that we can meet Monday morning with whatever it is that we do in life with vigor and with encouragement to go out and be the best Christian that we are. Because there is encouragement that comes from everyone that is in here. That is exactly the kind of people that we want to be and the help that we want to give others that are in Christ, that know Christ, to go forth and to be able to help them within their path. Those in Christ are such a blessing. Those in Christ have spiritual help when they fall. Galatians chapter 6 verse 1 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, go and restore such a one, considering yourself, lest you also are tempted." It also comes through helping those who are weak. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse 4, here the Apostle Paul, in his writing to the church at Thessalonica, gives many exhortations for that congregation that is there. But in verse 14, he says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, Warn those who are unruly. Comfort the faint-hearted. Uphold the weak. And be patient with all. Friends, we have a responsibility to one another, to bless one another, to be a blessing for each other in the way that we support and live our life. I remember back in 1988, I was a freshman up at Bethany College. And I know our brother said I graduated from West Liberty, and I did. But my first year was at Bethany College. And we had an extended winter break that was the entire month of January. And it so happened that my grandfather had been sick and had surgery in December and was laid up to where he pretty much couldn't do anything. Him and Grandma still lived on the farm down in Wetzel County. There was a horse to feed. There were chickens to take care of. There was wood to carry in. A lot of things that I was able to go and be of assistance to my grandparents during this period of time. But one of the things that have always stood out for me is the fact that my grandfather, my pap, got card after card after card from brothers and sisters in Christ. And I saw Pap struggle, and I saw the pain that he was often in many days. And it never failed. I would come in, and Pap would be there in his chair. And I would often find him reading through each and every one of those cards. And he'd read the front of the card, and he would read the inside of the card. And many times a smile would appear on his face. And I remember being 18 and walking in and seeing that and thinking, Pap, what are you doing? You read through those just 3 hours ago. But as I've grown older, I understand the benefit that there is and the support that we get from our brothers and sisters in Christ. And how spiritually he was lifted up. And how he was able to know and to understand that there were those that cared about him. That there were those that supported him. All those people that did that were a blessing to him. It helped him to make a time more tolerable. We would be hard-pressed as we talk about people within our life if we didn't mention Christ Jesus right here. We are blessed by Christ. I often think about the sacrifice that Christ made upon that cross so that through him I can have that hope of eternal life. There's no greater blessing that I will ever receive than the one that came through Christ, because what Christ has given me is life. John chapter 14 and verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me except by the Father. There's Christ Jesus, who is soon to die upon a cross, talking about being life. And friends, that's exactly what he has given you and I, life. Because it wasn't a physical life, it wasn't an earthly life that he was talking about. It was a spiritual life, one in which he has given to you and I, that if we are faithful in Christ, we have that hope of eternal life. One in which he set forth new commandments for us to follow. In John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, it says, and a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. What great encouragement it is there in the relationship that we have with each other when it comes to being in Christ and being a Christian. We have Christ in our life as the example of love. Christ in our life as the one who tells us to love, the greatest example of love, as he died there on the cross tree of Calvary. Turn your Bibles with me, if you would, over to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Beginning there in verse 3. The Apostle Paul says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Christ the great servant, the great Savior, and His love that He has had for us. Being blessed by Christ in this life should give us purpose. We're blessed by people. We're blessed by having a purpose. I've met people that have gone through life that have struggled to figure out, what is life all about? What is my purpose in life? What is my direction in life? What is it I need to do in life to make a difference or to make myself happy or to feel like I've been able to go and to do something in life? And we find individuals that will go and they will take a look at their job. They will take a look at their wealth. They will take a look at their possessions. Some will take a look at their fame and say, this is what defines me. But yet what we find out, that it's only a matter of time before a job, wealth, possessions, and fame come to an end. Friends, we have purpose in life, and we've been blessed with a purpose in life because we are made in the image of God. Galatians chapter 1, verse 26. Let us make man in our image. We should want to serve God because He is our Creator. That is our purpose as we go through life. That is how it is that we should want to live. I've thought about coming to preaching school for a lot of years. Coming out of high school, I almost went to school to become a preacher, and I didn't. And several years ago, I remember sitting in the office with Brother Emmanuel Daugherty talking about coming to preaching school. And yet it was something that I wanted to do that wasn't really able to work out until 2 years ago. But I think it's safe to say that in those years, even though I was preaching the gospel by appointment on the weekends, I was still trying to find my purpose. I was still trying to find what is it that drives me as I go through life. It's because I had more to offer in my service to God than what I was giving Him. Friends, our purpose in life is to serve God, to love God. It is to do the will of God. All things are going to pass, but our purpose will have mattered when we come to the end of our way. When we come to the end of our time and we draw that last breath, who we are is going to matter. It's not going to matter that the job I've had. It's not going to matter what possessions that I've had. But the purpose that will matter is whether or not I have been in Christ. I am blessed through that purpose. I am blessed through that opportunity to serve, to live my life to Him. I often think about Solomon and the great riches that Solomon had as he had gone through life, the great possessions that he had had in his stature, his power and who he was in life. And yet he came to the end of his life and he said, what is the whole duty of man? To fear God and to serve Him. Solomon had to learn that all those things he had in life, they weren't the most important. And I don't speak against us having a job. We have to work. I don't speak against us having money. We have to have money to live. But our purpose in life, our blessing in life, is to serve God with every bit of our being, every bit of our heart, our mind, and our soul. That no matter where we go in life, our purpose is to be the Christian that I need to be. Meaning that I set an example. I am a light, and I can share with others the great news of Christ Jesus and Him crucified. That is the purpose that will have mattered when I pass on. But what about peace? I appreciate the song that we sang. Savior, grant me rest in peace. We are blessed with the peace that we have in our life. Grab your songbooks if you would. I'm not going to sing this song, but open up to page 118. Count your blessings. Count your blessings. I love this song because I have so many blessings. And blessings beyond what I could even name or imagine or understand. And I've been blessed in ways that I don't totally comprehend as I go through life. But this is a song that we sing that simply tells us in the chorus to count our blessings, to name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. And friends, that's important for all of us. The chorus that we sing there, count our blessings. But what do we sing before we get to the chorus? Look at verse 1. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Merriam-Webster defines a billow as a great wave or a rolling mass that is a high wave. Being tempest-tossed is to be violently thrown and possibly to be thrown into a state of confusion. I read that verse and I think, boy, I can relate to that. When upon life's billows, I'm tempest-tossed. When I get discouraged, thinking, there's no way out of this. When I get discouraged, thinking, man, can anything else happen to me today? Can anything else go wrong? Count your many blessings. Our blessings are in Christ. We live this life in times where we do get thrown into a state of confusion. But yet we know and we understand God is there with us. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Boy, I sure am. I sure am. I get burdened. I get burdened with schoolwork, with how my family's doing. I get burdened with what goes on round about me. I get burdened by the things that I see and hear and read through the news. Sometimes I'm burdened with stuff. Sometimes there's a load that I feel on me that is just quite heavy. Does the cross seem heavy? You are called to bear. You know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That cross isn't always easy to bear, is it? Sometimes that cross gets heavy. Sometimes life gets difficult. I myself, last fall, I had to get an x-ray. And I knew by the way the radiation technologist was talking, something wasn't right. And I get the phone call that says, we've got some issues we need to talk about. Boy, that's a load of care. That was out of the blue. I had some tests I needed to get done. I take an x-ray and my entire life has been changed. Boy, that's a load of care. Seems like a heavy cross that we bear, but count your many blessings. Every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. What about verse 3? When you look at others with their lands of gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings. Money cannot buy your reward in heaven, nor your home on high. Friends, I look forward to that home on high. You know, it was just last quarter we studied the book of Job. And we study suffering and we study and talk about the idea, why do good people have to suffer? While it seems there are others that don't. And yet we find out that there is a God and he is ruler and judge of this universe. But yet I'm still blessed in him. Many people are blessed with greater earthly possessions. Some come by them honestly, some come by them dishonestly. But the greatest possession I have is Christ Jesus, because I know that one day I will be in a home on high. Verse 4 says, so amid the conflict, whether great or small. Isn't it interesting how conflict comes to us from time to time? Just seems like out of the blue, boom, there's conflict. And I'm thinking, where's this come from? How has this happened? Things were going so well, and now we've got all kinds of problems. Boy, sometimes it sneaks up on us. Sometimes we see it coming. But boy, conflict comes. Do not be discouraged. God is over all. That's one of the great things I get through life with, is the fact that there is a God and He is the one that is in charge. And I live my life to Him. Count your many blessings. Angels will attend. Help and comfort give you till your journey's end. What great peace we have in life. What great comfort we have in knowing that there is a Christ that died upon the cross, so that regardless of what happens to me as I go through life, I can have peace. That I can know that, as we read earlier, that God will supply my need according to the riches that come through Him. I've been supplied. Am I going to struggle? Yes. Do I have sickness? Yes. Do I have conflict in my life? Yes. But in Christ Jesus, I've been blessed beyond measure. Blessed to a point where I know what awaits me. I live with this peace. I live with this peace. And friends, as a Christian, it's one of the greatest things that we have. Peace in Christ Jesus. And why do we have that peace? Because we have a promise. A promise from a God who cannot lie. A promise from a Son who had to die. And that promise is that you and I can live on high in the great hereafter, through God's love for us and through Christ Jesus. We can boldly say, as the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, what is there to fear? What can man do to me? I live my life with this thought in mind. I'm simply getting ready to go home. I don't know when quitting time is going to be. God will let me know. But someday, I will have that promise. Persecution from man can be real. Persecution from those that we, young ones in here that you go to school with, it can be real. As you're in your workplace, persecution can be real. But yet we can have peace because we have the promise in Christ Jesus. We must fear Him, as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, fear Him who can kill the body and the soul. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, all things work together for those that love the Lord. If you're still there in the Philippian letter, turn over to chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4. Beginning in verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. I want to pause there real quick. We see here the Apostle Paul, as he's telling the church at Thessalonica, rejoice in the Lord always. As you go through your life, as you go through your daily routine, as you live your life in everything that you do, rejoice always. And I read that and I begin to think, well, what about when things aren't going well? Apostle Paul said, rejoice. What about when I have trouble? What about when I have conflict? The Apostle Paul said, rejoice. What about when there's illness in my family? The Apostle Paul said, rejoice. Be anxious for nothing. I'm still working on that one. And I probably will be the rest of my life. But the Apostle Paul says, be anxious for nothing. What great truth that there is right there. Be anxious for nothing, but in prayer and supplication or thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Friends, I go through life, and sometimes it's easy to forget that I don't have to be anxious. What a blessing that is. Sometimes I forget that there is a peace of God that surpasses my understanding. And yet I don't need to worry. I don't need to be concerned, because there is that promise. I can live with anxiety. I can rejoice always in all things. Friends, we take our petitions to God. The promise is we will have a home in heaven if we were faithful in Him. The believer and the baptized are going to be saved. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, what we see is the Great Commission. Also Matthew chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. It is far better to be with Christ. The Apostle Paul talked in Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 through 23, For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit for my labor. Yet what shall I choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. The promise. Do you have that promise in your life? As a Christian, you go through life in peace and you go through life in comfort. I was so blessed growing up to have known all four of my grandparents. My first grandparent did not pass away until I was 25 years of age. I was blessed to have that. I had one grandparent that never obeyed the gospel. And as we remember that grandparent, as we talk about that grandparent, there's a void in my heart, because I know that he didn't draw his last breath with the promise of Christ. My other grandparent put it off till the 11th hour, until finally she looked at my mother and said, I want you to tell me what you told my mom. To which the reply was, what is that? That it's okay to die. But yet at that time, the state that my grandmother was in, it was not okay to die, because she had no hope. In the nursing home down in New Martinsville, in a whirlpool, my grandmother was baptized one afternoon. And how thankful I am for that. I was with her at the hospital. I held her hand and I prayed as she drew her last breath. There were tears of sadness that fell down my face, but friends, there was tears of joy, because I know the great confession that my grandmother made and the hope that she now has of eternity. Friends, there's nothing greater than the promise that comes from Christ. Where do you stand this evening? Are you in Christ? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is that Son of God? Are you willing to confess that faith before men, being buried in that watery grave of baptism, in which we arise and walk in the newness of life, a life in which we do not live to the old man, but we live to Christ. And we walk through this life having blessings that we don't understand, and blessings from fellow Christians, and blessings in the peace that we can have, blessings in our purpose, and blessings in that promise. But it's only in Christ that we have that promise. Maybe you've once taken those steps but fallen back into the ways of the world. Maybe you've once lived with that promise but now you're not so sure. If you've sinned and fallen away, why not get right tonight with God? Through baptism, through repentance of sin, if there's anything at all that we can do in your obedience to the Father tonight, I encourage you to come forward now, as together we stand and as we sing.
Amen. He's ever, Lord, my sign. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest I am, I will come to thee. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin.